Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our winter membership drive, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But first, remember the Sunday roast? For me growing up, it was the pot roast, and the leftovers were turned into barbecue beef sandwiches the next day, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And Mom definitely improved her style over the years, no doubt. But what if she had had Betty Rossbottom's newest cookbook, Sunday Roasts, a year's worth of mouth-watering roasts? Betty Rossbottom is well known in Columbus for founding La Belle Plum Cooking School, which at its height attracted more than 4,000 Ohioans each year. She continued her teaching after moving to New England in the 1990s, and today directs the classes at the Different Drummers Kitchen in Northampton, Massachusetts. Betty also is the host of a popular PBS cooking show, On the Menu, aired in Western New England, and she writes about cooking. For more than two decades, she wrote the nationally syndicated column called That's Entertaining. She's also a contributor to Bon Appetit magazine and other publications and has authored 10 cookbooks, including Sunday Soup, followed by her latest, Sunday Roasts. Welcome to the show, Betty Rossbottom.
Well, it's a pleasure to be talking to the people from the Buckeye State.
Right, you're an old friend of Columbus.
I am. I had a wonderful time when I lived there, and I go back often. And I'm a big fan of WOSU, I have to tell you. I love public radio, and when I was driving around in Columbus, I always had my radio set to your station.
You wrote about your tiny Paris apartment kitchen in a recent blog post. You made the point that anything's possible, even roasted veal shanks and vegetables in what you called your ovenette. Tell us about that.
I kind of coined that term because really the oven that I have in the apartment where we stay in Paris is so small, it's just barely bigger than a microwave. And so every time I entertain, I have to think in terms of, okay, what will fit in the oven? And one of my favorite recipes from Sunday Roast, veal shanks with red wine and sage, I got in a roasting pan that literally fit to the sides of the oven. And it was perfect. It worked out great. So it just goes to show you, you can cook a roast just about anywhere.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our winter membership drive. Please show your support for All Sides and for 89.7 NPR News. Call 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $2,000, and we can meet this goal, and we always do, and the only way we can meet it is with your help. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the brand new cookbook, Sunday Roasts, by Betty Rossbottom, who is our guest today on All Sides. This cookbook includes a year's worth of mouth-watering roasts, from old-fashioned pot roast to turkeys and legs of lamb and seafood, fish, you name it. This beautiful book has more than 75 recipes. Pledge $120 and support All Sides and 89.7 NPR News, and get this great book as your thank you gift. Call 1-866-897-9678 or make a pledge online at WOSU.org. Again, that number is 1-866-897-9678 or make a pledge online at WOSU.org. Give what you can, but at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you is Betty Rossbottom's new cookbook, Sunday Roasts, a year's worth of mouth-watering roasts. And I can already tell it's going to be dog-eared in my kitchen someday. So check it out online if you want. Go to WOSU.org and you can learn more about it there. If you have a question or comment for Betty, maybe you attended one of her classes back at La Belle Plum. Back in the day, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org and talk to Betty Rossbottom. Welcome your questions and comments. You wrote about your cook some, buy some philosophy in another blog post from Paris, but that's something I've read about in your columns over the years, too.
Yes, you know, today people are busy, but who doesn't want to have friends over, especially when it's cold? It's a great time to have a roast or a dinner. And I don't think that people have enough time maybe to go from the nuts to the dessert. So I certainly buy some and make some. And in Paris, it's quite easy, but it's gotten easier all through the United States. You know, you might buy wonderful olives at one store, and you might buy some hummus and some really good bread. Make the main course, then serve some great cheeses and some fruits for dessert, and you really haven't had to work, you know, all day in front of your kitchen, and yet you can have a great meal and have a lot of fun with your friends.
So getting to the cookbook now, what constitutes a roast? What's your definition of a roast? Because as I said earlier, this goes, it's from everything from, well, side dishes, of course, but also, you know, fish,
exactly,
seafood, you name it.
Well, you know, before I started the book, the very first thing I did was to look up roast, and I actually mentioned that in the introduction to the book, so it's a great question. A roast can be, it can be meat, that is pork, veal, lamb, beef that we think of traditionally. It can be roast poultry, chicken, or turkey, or Cornish hens. It can be fish. But the thing that defines it as a roast is it's something that goes in the oven and cooks in the oven, usually feeding two people, although it can feed one person. And, you know, mostly when you roast, you think of the roast as cooking in a dry temperature. You might baste it. I do that on almost every roast. But occasionally, you put liquid in to roast it in the oven. And when you mention your mom's pot roast, that would have been a case where a roast would have been cooked with liquid. And those veal chunks that you mentioned, same thing there. So the key element is the oven. And how you cook it depends on the cut of meat and the recipe you're dealing with.
You refer to the Sunday roasts in your title because most roasts, you said, tend to take a while in the oven, and Sunday's often the only time of the week that you have that much time. But lots of the recipes can be made in an hour or so, I found.
Well, you know, in the back of this book, because I'm always thinking of today's cook, the busy person who wants to cook and put a good meal on the table, I included a little section called the roast directory. And in that, I put a list of roasts that you can do in under 30 minutes. And then I put roasts that might take an hour and a half or longer, roasts that are good for the holidays, roasts for calorie counters, and roast that won't break the bank. So a roast will fit many, many, many needs. And the fish in particular roast very quickly. Almost all the fish were under 20 to 25 minutes.
Thanks to Barbara in Columbus. We have $1,800 to go this hour. My guest this hour, Betty Rossbottom, cookbook author, author of Sunday Roasts, A Year's Worth of Mouthwatering Roasts. That's what we're talking about today. You may recognize the name from the newspaper. She wrote a column that was published in the Dispatch and was syndicated around the country for 20 years. You may also recognize her from her former cooking school in Columbus, La Belle Pomme. If you have a story or a reminiscence, if you want to ask Betty Rossbottom a question or have a comment for her, give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you want to make your pledge of support to 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Dan Fisher, call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. And thanks again to Barbara in Columbus for your support. So, yeah, let's go through that directory because, you know, actually I cooked in this book last night, but I didn't notice the directory until you mentioned it earlier. Roasts that need less than 30 minutes in the oven, that's a lot more than I would have guessed.
Yeah, oh, there's almost 15 under that category. Almost all the fish are quick, as I mentioned, 20, 25 minutes at the most. And then pork tenderloins are a roast that cook in usually about 20 to 25 minutes. I've got chicken breast stuffed with figs, prosciutto, and gorgonzola. That's a yummy dish. And they're very quick. You know, there are just a lot of things that don't take as much time as you think. And even those roasts that take, say, a longer period of time, say an hour and a half, often you don't have to do much. You put them in and let them go. You might do a little basting every now and then, but it's not active cooking, so you can be doing other things in the kitchen.
It did crack me up that you started the whole book with the old-fashioned pot roast and vegetables.
Think of roast, don't you? Doesn't everybody have a childhood memory of their parents making, you know, pot roast? I certainly do, and my husband does, and it seemed appropriate to put it as in the first place.
Yeah, I just hope my mom's not listening today and didn't hear me make, because I loved it, you know, and I love the leftovers, and you talk about leftovers as well for lots of your recipes.
Well, every recipe where it's appropriate, whether it's fish or whether it's veal or lamb or beef, if there's leftovers left, I suggest what you can do with them. Because what could be better than to make a roast on Sunday and then get another meal out of it on Monday or Tuesday when you're coming home from work and you're tired and you have something already cooked? That's a terrific extra in your kitchen.
Carol in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Hi. I just wanted to thank Betty. My son, who will be 42 in March, took classes at La Belle Pomme when he was 15. He was the only young person in the class, and as a result, he is the chef at his house, and he's a gourmet cook. His food rivals any restaurant I've been to, and I always love going and staying with him because he cooks great food. And he regularly calls, "Mom, I've lost the recipe for the cornbread stuffing. What is it?" We still make it. And I loved it. And I remember seeing Emeril before he was the BAM king. And it was, I just loved those classes. And I was so sad when you left.
Thank you, Carol. And, you know, we did offer kids cooking classes, and it's just great to hear that your son does all the cooking at home. My son does the same. So, you know, it's a wonderful kind of following for me to hear the results of those classes.
Well, it wasn't a kids class. It was the adult class.
Oh, he snuck into the adult class. Well,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And you tell him if he ever needs that cornbread stuffing, it's in my first book, but I can always put my hands on it and I can get it to him.
Oh, I know. I have that book, and I put my hands on it regularly.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that he's doing so well and that he's feeding his mom. The tables are turned.
Right.
Thank you, Carol.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening. You know, there was a recipe in the book that was, I think, is my next one that I'm going to go to. Carol reminded me about the rolled flank steak with a cornbread and chorizo stuffing.
Yes. You know, that's a recipe I developed strictly for this book. And I had this idea that you could use flank steak, which is readily available and people like it, and that you could stuff it with something. And the kind of typical stuffing was a South American stuffing that had vegetables. And I wanted to go a little bit outside the box, and I came up with doing cornbread with chorizo. And it has a little bit of lime juice in there,
right,
and I think some more hot peppers. It's a delicious dish, which you can serve at room temperature, too. And it doesn't have to be, you know, just warm from the oven. It works both ways.
It sounds great, and that chorizo just kind of makes that link between the cornbread and the flank. Like in my mind, it made a good, nice link.
Chorizo is almost always in my refrigerator because it tastes good. You know, it's a little smoked Spanish sausage. It comes two ways. One is loose, the Mexican version, or the Spanish version, which is hard and already cooked. And I use that one more, and that's the one I use with the cornbread stuffing for the flank steak. It's a delicious dish. And perfect for the cold weather, too.
Right. Thanks, Elizabeth in Columbus. We have $1,700 to go this hour. Thanks so much for your support. My guest, Betty Rossbottom. She's a cooking teacher, a PBS host, and a cookbook author. And she has joined us here today to help answer your questions about cooking. But you can have her new cookbook and learn much more. And you will be supporting 89.7 NPR News with your pledge today. The thank you gift is an added bonus to being a member of this public radio station. Go to WOSU.org and select Sunday Roasts at the $120 pledge level or pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 and talk to our volunteers. Our volunteers are waiting to talk to you. Show your support for public radio. That's how they show their support. They come here from all over Central Ohio and spend some time at the Fawcett Center, just a couple walls away from me, and they're waiting for your calls right now. Help them out. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Those pledges, online pledges, count as well toward our goal this hour. If you want to talk with Betty Rossbottom, please 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You mentioned an oven thermometer in your section on the right equipment.
That's right, an essential piece of equipment when you're roasting. And, you know, there are many different thermometers out there. They're very fancy ones that you can hook up to an outlet. I don't use those, but I do like the instant read thermometer. That's one that you, when you're checking the roast, you open the door, you pull it out quickly, you plunge it in, and you read it, and you get the reading within seconds. And, you know, when you're doing a piece of meat and it's fairly large, let's say it's 3 pounds, which is average size for a roast, it's hard to know what that temperature is in the center. And the meat thermometer will let you find out what it is, and it'll help you to be a better cook. Not only should you use the meat thermometer, but when you see the temperature, and I give that for each recipe, you often want to give yourself a little bit of time to let that roast rest, mm-hmm. because it continues to cook and the temperature continues to rise in the 10 minutes or longer that you let it rest. So that's something to take into account.
I made the chicken breast stuffed with figs, prosciutto, and gorgonzola last night, and I am having leftovers today. And I really, sometimes with poultry, it makes me nervous if it's not
yes.
done as well as I'd like it to. But I let it rest for 10 minutes, like as you suggest in the recipe, and it was fine. I don't know why, but poultry always makes me a little more nervous.
Well,
but
you don't
it's the same, right.
You don't want to undercook poultry. You know, there's a problem with salmonella, you know, if you undercook it and let it sit out. And for poultry, it depends. A roast chicken's about 170 to 180, definitely over 170. And even doing those chicken breasts, you can put the thermometer in and get a read, even though they're stuffed. The other way to know with chicken breasts that they're done is you put your finger on it, push it, it should bounce right back up. You know, it shouldn't just stay flabby, then you know it's not cooked. But another, you know, you mentioned a meat thermometer. Oven thermometers are very important, too, because they let you know if your oven's temperature is accurate.
Right. How do those work? Is there something you install into your oven? Or?
No, it's very easy. You can even buy one at the grocery store. I tend to buy mine at a cookware store because they have really good ones. And you just put it on a shelf in your oven. And as the temperature is set, you can look at that after about 15 minutes, give your oven 15 minutes to preheat. And if you put it on 350 and your oven says 375, you know you're about 25 degrees high and you might need to have someone come out and adjust it, or just, you know, keep that in mind when you're cooking and make your temperature a little bit lower so it really gets at 350.
You know, you also mentioned that instant read thermometers don't last forever, and I, you know, of course nothing does, but what happens to them? I didn't know. I mean, assuming that that's not the end of the world, I thought, yeah, they would last forever.
Well, they're not terribly expensive.
Right.
Some of them are battery driven, where you push a little button and you can get both Fahrenheit and Celsius, and they would have to have a battery replaced. Some of them just stop functioning. You know, maybe water gets up underneath there. Something happens. You know, you don't immerse them. You wash them off. But I have noticed that their shelf life is not always much more than a year and a half or so.
Okay.
And so when I was testing the recipes for this book, it was really crucial to me to get the temperatures correct for the readers who would use the recipes. I had two or three thermometers that I used every time we tested a roast. And it would be surprising, you know, they didn't all register the same thing every time. And if two of them were saying, hey, this temperature is 150, and the other one was saying 125, we said, that thermometer doesn't seem like it's working very well.
You mentioned in the book, I think it was in the acknowledgments or the thank yous to the people who helped you with it, to your husband, how he sometimes had to eat the same roast over and over and over again. Was that typical?
That was very typical. You know, you mentioned that I'd done a lot of cookbooks. This was one of the hardest cookbooks I did. And that's because I really take into account when I'm creating a recipe how the reader is going to use the recipe. And everybody's oven is different. The cut of meat might vary in weight just a little bit. And all of those things affect, you know, the outcome. And so we tested the recipes over and over again. Now, my husband was just fine when it was pulled pork, you know, the pulled pork barbecue sandwiches. But, you know, sometimes when I was maybe doing Cornish hens, he wasn't quite as enthusiastic. You know, he had his favorites, but he was a great sport, and he knew it was important. And so we did have chicken sometimes 3 days in a row, and we might have, you know, let's see, what was the other one? Oh, we had a lot of pork. I have great pork recipes, but we had pork tenderloins a lot. And one of the things we haven't touched on, but in this book, there are 25 side dishes and mm-hmm. relishes to serve with the roasts that are featured in the book. So one of those is mashed potatoes, and I have 5 variations on it. So, you know, there were days when we had mashed potatoes from Monday to Friday.
Everybody loves a good mashed potato butt.
Right.
My guest is Betty Rossbottom, cookbook author. We're talking about her newest book, Sunday Roasts, A Year's Worth of Mouth-Watering Roasts, from old-fashioned pot roasts to glorious turkeys and legs of lamb. If you have a question or comment for Betty Rossbottom, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. As I said, joining us this morning, cookbook author and friend of public broadcasting, Betty Rossbottom, with our thank you gift for this hour, Sunday Roasts. Betty's book has more than 50 recipes for roasts, and then more than 25 recipes for side dishes and sauces, as we were just talking about. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and support 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station. We need to hear from you now. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge online. Our goal this hour was $2,000. We still have $1,700 to raise in the next 34 minutes in support of All Sides. Make your pledge right now and get a great thank you gift, that cookbook Sunday Roasts. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And also, anything at the $60 pledge level and over is good for a WOSU member card. It's good for discounts at more than 200 restaurants and attractions in Columbus. If you're a foodie, there's lots of opportunity to eat some great food at reduced rates using the WOSU member card at the $60 pledge level. But no matter what, as usual, and we really mean it, give what you can afford. Live within your means. Give what you can afford. If everybody does that, we'll have enough to go around. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I was talking to Betty beforehand and said, I hope we can have her on someday when we're not in the middle of a membership drive, because it can be a little disjointed, and I'm trying not to break it up too much. If you appreciate that, if you're hearing that, show us with your support for WOSU. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. So, side dishes. Are there any rules you keep or any guidelines about what side dishes work with what? That is, in general.
Well, you know, for side dishes, I always think seasonally. For instance, if it's the fall, then butternut squash or sweet potatoes or Brussels sprouts are great. If it's the winter, those vegetables carry over. When it's spring, you want asparagus and take advantage of eggplant and tomatoes and corn, you know, when it's summer. So seasonal things, I think, are really, really, really important today. They're a better price and they're better quality. I've tried to give a wide mix. As I mentioned, there were 6 variations on mashed potatoes. I obviously like mashed potatoes. There's wonderful Brussels sprouts dish with apples and bacon that works particularly well with roast poultry and with roast pork. There are wild rice dishes. There's a cornbread dish. There's I'm trying to think, if you do a standing rib roast for a special occasion, there's Yorkshire pudding. So, you know, I tried to choose the dishes that I felt people would look to and give them the best version possible of it to serve with their roast.
And you include an extras chapter with chutneys, relishes, seasoned butters.
Oh, yes. They're you know, if you had a little black dress, they're like the jewelry you'd put on it. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Lots of chutneys. There's an apple chutney that's just one of my favorites that goes with a curried rack of pork. There's cranberry chutney for the holidays. Seasoned butters that you add herbs to, and maybe sometimes some garlic, that meat is basted with and then becomes part of the sauce with the pan drippings. These can be made ahead, too. That's a real bonus when you're entertaining or cooking for others. And all of those recipes were designed to work with the roasts that are in the book so that they work together like a puzzle, more or less.
When you develop a recipe, where does it come from? Where does the inspiration come from? To you said you try to take into consideration the readers and how the readers will follow a recipe and what they need, but where does it come from inside as far as what you want to do?
It's the hardest question any interviewer can ask me is where do you get your inspiration? Because it's from everything. I read quite a bit. I mean, I read a lot of other cookbooks. I have a chance to go to France a lot, and I read cookbooks in French there, see what trends are, look at combinations of food. I'm a real foodie, love to eat out, and I never eat out without a notebook. And I take notes if I'm in New York or Boston or lucky enough to be in Paris, then I'm writing down what a chef has done with a dish. And I might take his ideas for a couple of things and then do my own dish from it. I'll give you an example. I was in the Greek islands. I was on the island of Corfu for less than 3 hours. My husband and I were leading a tour. I was actually leading the tour, and he was coming along. culinary-inspired, going around the tip of Italy and to Corfu. And there was just enough time to get off, see the old town, and eat. And I ordered this dish, not reading a word of Greek, called, it was a lamb with vegetables cooked in parchment. And the waiter insisted that I order it, and I did. It was the most glorious dish, and it appears in Sunday roast. You take a piece of parchment, you take wonderful lean pieces of leg of lamb, you know, bite-sized pieces, fresh vegetables, including spinach, potatoes, red onions, red peppers, carrots. You tie them up in this parchment piece. You simply put them on a baking dish, and you bake them for 2 hours. The vegetables exude wonderful juices, as do the little pieces of meat. And when you open them up, there is this meat and vegetable dish that you only had to assemble and put in the oven. I would have never thought of it, but the inspiration came from being lucky enough to have a meal on a little Greek island where the waiter was willing to tell me how they cooked it. And, you know, that was just one excuse. In the case of the flank steak stuffed with the cornbread, I just knew that I wanted to do something that had a cornbread stuffing, and I worked on the stuffing and other flavors that I thought went with it. And, you know, I think people who maybe aren't in the food world believe that you just do it once and it works, but the truth is you do it 4, 5, 6 times and then maybe it works.
My guest is Betty Rossbottom, cookbook author. We're talking about her newest book, Sunday Roasts, A Year's Worth of Mouth-Watering Roasts. It's our thank you gift to you at the $120 pledge level. It's our winter membership drive. We need your help to produce the kinds of shows that you've come to expect on 89.7 MBR News. We need your help, support for All Sides with Ann Fisher. Thanks to Suzanne in Columbus. If we hear from 14 more people this hour in a pledge with any amount, we will meet our goal. So be one of the 14 people that calls us in the next 22 minutes. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call and make your pledge of support at whatever level you can afford. At the $120 level, our thank you gift again is Betty Rossbottom's Sunday Roasts. The book includes 50 recipes for roasts ranging from beef to chicken to fish, along with more than 25 recipes for side dishes and sauces to round out the meal. You can learn how to make bistro roast chicken with garlic, onions, and herbs, or standing rib roast with porcini mushroom sauce. These roasts are perfect for Sunday dinner or for your next holiday meal, but there are also recipes for every price range and every season and every need. The book includes recipes for beef, pork, lamb, veal, poultry, and seafood, plus the side dishes and delicious butters and sauces. And it has a helpful index in the back. We've already gone over that. We'll go back to that in a minute. The roast directory that divides the recipes up by cooking time, holidays, cost, and calories. It's a great cookbook filled with lots of full-color photographs. It's a beautiful cookbook, nothing like a good-looking cookbook is what I say. 614-292-8513. If you have a question for Betty, she's still a cooking teacher. Or if you want to make your pledge, 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. And we need 15 more people this hour in a pledge with any amount to meet our goal. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to our secure server at wosu.org. Betty Rossbottom is a big friend of public media. You have a cooking show.
Well, I work.
Or you're one of them.
I've been a host here in my area in Western New England on a show called On the Menu for our PBS station WGBY in Springfield, Massachusetts, and we would have chefs on every week and do a cooking show based on one of their favorite menus. And as I said, I love listening to public radio. I have a wonderful station here in Western New England called WFAC, WFCU, excuse me. It's called the Five College Radio because we have five colleges in this area, and you can just turn it on and get gorgeous music at any time of the day. And then as far away as Albany, New York, we have WAMC, and that's where I hear the Splendid Table with Lynn Rosetto Casper and Car Talk and all of these great shows. And I think what I love so much about public radio is that you don't just get a snippet of something. You get the long story, the real interesting tidbits that go with it. And like we're having a chance today to talk for almost an hour about something that's my favorite thing in the world, and that's cooking. And where else do you get it except public radio today?
And many other days. I love to do cooking shows, as regular listeners know. I've had lots of great cookbook authors on, including Betty Rossbottom now. I add her to the list. It's not unusual to have this kind of a show. What is unusual is that during it today, I'm asking for your show of support. I'm asking you to tell us that this is something that you value, that the kind of shows you hear on 89.7 NPR News is something of value to you. Is All Sides with Ann Fisher something you value? Is it $1 a week? Is it $5 a week? Is it $10 a month? What works for you? Figure out how you value it, what matters to you, and how important it is to you to keep it going. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to make that pledge and tell the folks when you call what you care about and why you're calling. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge right now at the $120 level. Our gift to you is Betty's newest cookbook, Sunday Roasts, A Year's Worth of Mouth-Watering Roasts. It has beautiful illustrative pictures of the dishes you will create. The book will teach you how to make roast beef short ribs in barbecue sauce and lamb shanks with dates and olives. Yum. Something about dates and olives. I just love all the Mediterranean.
I love the sweet and the salty. Mm-hmm. That's what mm-hmm. goes together so mm-hmm. well.
The book also has side dishes such as golden potato gratin and honey glazed carrots and parsnips. Pick up this thank you gift for a pledge of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. There's a cook in your life that you know loves to collect cookbooks and loves cookbooks. This is a beautiful addition to any collection. 1-866-897-9678. And don't forget at the $60 pledge level and above, the WOSU member card. We have 13 more calls or web pledges we need this hour to make our goal. Just 13 more. Be one of the 13. 1-866-897-9678. We have just about 21 minutes to go. Let's make this goal this hour. Appreciate it so much, your support for 89.7 NPR News. We have an email from Emily, Betty.
Yes.
She writes, I have a problem with always overcooking the Thanksgiving turkey. I check it with a thermometer and baste it often, and last year I cooked it for a full hour less than the year before, and it was still dry. I don't cook often, so Thanksgiving is one of the biggest meals I do for my whole family. Any advice?
Two pieces of advice. Have your oven checked. Make sure that the it's accurate temperature. You know, it sounds to me like that oven could be cooking high. And buy the best quality turkey you can, and that would be one that's local, one that's, you know, fed with no hormones, and, you know, find a really good producer. That will make a difference. I always say when you're doing a turkey, in addition to those things, baste, whether it's butter, a seasoned butter, plain butter, or a stock. Every 25 to 30 minutes, open that door, pull the turkey out just slightly, and baste it with either some fat or some liquid because that will keep it moist. Another trick, I don't know what size turkey Emily's talking about, but if you are worried that the white meat, the breast meat, is getting too dry before the thighs and the legs are done, you can loosen that meat before you put it in the oven, and you can pat some butter. I usually do it with seasoned butter and put it up underneath there, and that will baste the bird just automatically as it roasts. So,
are you talking about under the skin or actually?
Under the skin.
Okay, okay.
Under the skin. You don't want to have real long, beautifully manicured fingernails to do this, you know, but you want to just loosen that skin with your fingers, clean fingers, and then pat the butter up underneath there. And I do that in quite a few recipes, and I find that it really helps the breast to stay moist, which cooks before the dark meat.
I think the temperature is a really good point, Betty, that
yes.
that if it's a continual problem.
It sounds like an oven problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Emily, thanks for that question. It was a good one. For a lot of people, Thanksgiving is always troublesome because you make things that you only make once a year. You happen to have a turkey recipe in here. At least
I have two recipes.
Right. I was going to say at least one. Yeah.
And a stuffed turkey breast, two stuffed turkey breasts. So there's a lot to choose from. One of them is an apple cider glazed turkey. It's just terrific. You put chopped leeks and sage in the cavity, and you baste it with stock and cider and white wine. It's terrific. The other one is, I call it my never-fail roast turkey. We need to get this recipe to Emily.
Okay, Emily.
Because it's got herbed butter that you baste it with. It has the most magnificent sauce, and I've had great, great success with this, and my students have too. So it would be a good recipe for us to send along to Emily.
Do you have any feelings about the size of a turkey? Some people say that you keep it around the 12 to 15 pound target, and you're going to be better off. It's the really big turkeys sometimes don't cook as well.
Well, I do have feelings, but I know friends who do larger turkeys. I like my turkeys to be around 14 pounds. Anywhere from 12 to about 16 works really well for me, and I have a nice size oven. But I have friends who do 20, 23 pounders, and no problem. I feel it is just, it's hard to take, first of all, the turkey's heavy, the pan's heavy. It's a lot to get out when you get over about 15 pounds. I find those work for me, and what a lot of people do is, if they're having a big crowd, they might do a turkey breast in addition to a 15 pounder, and that gives them enough for leftovers and to, you know, to enjoy the turkey several days in a row.
Now, I haven't looked real close at your recipe, your never fail, but some recipes I've tried it before, you flip the turkey.
That's right.
And if you get too big of a turkey, forget about it.
That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. I've tried.
Yeah, no, I think, and it's hot. You know, it's a little bit
it's
dangerous.
Awkward. Yeah, exactly.
But the Never Fail Roast Turkey I developed originally for Bon Appetit, and then I, of course, changed it slightly. It has shallot pan gravy. There's an herb butter that's patted under the skin to over the breast, which I mentioned, so that never, ever dries out. And then you baste it with stock and with this butter, and the butter has sage and thyme and salt and pepper, and it's delicious. It's even good in January, I'll put it that way.
We have an email from Ron. He says, you were talking about Thanksgiving turkey. What is Betty's opinion of putting the stuffing in the bird? Good idea or bad idea? I have heard really mixed opinions on this over the years.
Well, my opinion is that I cook my dressing and have for all the years I've been cooking outside the bird, but I don't think that there's any right or wrong way. If you're used to putting the stuffing inside the bird and you like that, then go for it. I do cornbread stuffing the way our friend who called in earlier mentioned, I think it was Barb, and I like for it to get a little crusty on top and then just be just really soft and wonderful beneath. So the only way I can do that is to do it in a separate pan. And my dressing cooks in about 30 minutes, and a big bird needs about 30 minutes to rest. So the minute the bird comes out, I put the dressing in. And it just seems to work time-wise and space-wise really well for me.
I don't know where I got this idea from, but people still rave about it. When I make the dressing outside of the turkey in a pan, I layer the top of it with chicken wings.
What a great idea.
It was great. And then you just, of course, pop it in the oven for however long it needs. And all of that, the juices and everything, you know, it seeps into it. So you do get that poultry flavoring.
And it's, oh, I and you know, wings are great. My husband's favorite part of the turkey is the wing.
Right. And, you can eat the wings afterwards.
I know. And well, I in this book I have a sourdough dressing where you take sourdough bread and cube it and dry it out a little bit, and you roast all these marvelous fall vegetables: carrots, parsnips, little pearl onions, rutabagas, which are, you know, yellow turnips. And you combine all of those with the bread, and that is a marvelous stuffing, and it's done outside the bird, too. But again, there's no right or wrong way. There's the way that you enjoy doing the most.
Thanks to Greg in Columbus, we need 12 more calls or clicks to get to our goal this hour. Support All Sides and support 89.7 NPR News. Make your show of support right now, 1-866-897-9678. And we've got a phone ringing now, but I don't know what everybody's being so shy about. If you have a question for Betty Rossbottom, and I know you do, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can go online to make your pledge at WOSU.org. You can also email us to make your put forth your question or comment for Betty Rossbottom. Our email address is allsides@wosu.org. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call, though, to make your show of support. This is our winter membership drive. This is the only time of the year we're asking you during the year, or more if you want, but at least once a year. Tell us that this is something that matters to you. We need the funding, but we also need to know you care. 1-866-897-9678. We need your pledge of support. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And our thank you gift to you this hour at the $120 level is the beautiful new cookbook by Betty Rossbottom. It's called Sunday Roasts. This is the only time Betty Rossbottom is going to be joining us during this drive. So this is the time to get this great book as your thank you gift. Call right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks to Carol and Powell, 11 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal. We have about 13 minutes to go. Let's make the most of it. Pick up the phone or go online right now and get it over with. It only takes about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. They're very, very quick, and it sounds like they're not as busy as we'd like them to be over there in the call room. So give them a call, 1-866-897-9678. Before you know it, you'll be back to listening to the show. 1-866-897-9678. And thanks again to Carol and Powell. We have 11 more calls or web pledges to meet our goal. And once again, if you want to give us a call and speak with Betty Rossbottom, she's with us right now. Call 1-614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Dan in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Betty. I just wanted to say I love your show. I'm a avid listener, and then today, obviously, I'm off work, and I was joyed to hear about cooking. I'm an avid foodie. And then just to add to the conversation about turkeys, Betty, one thing that I've done recently in the last couple of years is brine the turkey prior to roasting it, and then had the idea to actually grill it 1 year. My favorite was using a cider brine and then using an apple cider butter to baste it as the turkey was roasting.
It sounds delicious. It sounds great. And the only thing you have to be aware of when you brine is there's usually a lot of salt in that brine.
Yeah.
So you have to, be careful with what kind of sauce you make and adjust for that. But people swear by it, and it's like the stuffing inside or outside. I think it's a personal thing, and it's whatever yields the best turkey for you and what you enjoy the most.
Definitely.
But I like the idea of the apple cider butter. That sounds terrific.
Yeah, it actually gave it a nice golden crisp color on the outside after it was roasted.
I bet it was terrific. You get compliments?
Every year I'm asked. Different parts of the family want me to come in and cook for them. So.
Well, I would say you're a successful cook.
Now, you have a recipe for golden cider roasted turkey.
I do. And when you said, when Dan said, the cider butter made it golden, I remembered, I even named that recipe golden cider.
Right.
Cider is a very nice partner to turkey.
Most definitely. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks,
Dan.
Thank
you for your call.
Thanks for listening, Dan, too. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you want to talk to Betty Rossbottom. And if you want that phone number again to make your pledge, well, God darn it. Thanks to Sarah in Dublin for making the call. We need 10 more calls. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. Do that right now and pledge what you can afford. If you can afford $60, our gift to you at that level and above, the WOSU member card. If you can afford $120, our thank you gift to you is Betty Rossbottom's new book, Sunday Roasts, A Year's Worth of Mouthwatering Roasts. Maybe you can afford more this year. Help make up for some folks who are hitting some hard times and maybe can't afford as much as they gave last year. Do your best. Do what you can. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call, though, to talk to Betty Rossbottom. And Anne in Columbus, you want to talk turkey.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Betty. I miss your column in the Dispatch.
Well, I miss doing it, but you know I have a blog now, and
I
put recipes and pictures on my blog all the time. So I hope you'll look at it, and you can find some more recipes there.
I'll check it out. But I have a question about turkey roasting.
Okay.
You didn't mention cooking the turkey in a Teflon bag.
I've never done it, but I'd love to hear your results if you've done it.
Well, long ago, I tried roasting it in a paper bag and just folding it over, and that kept it moist, but it was kind of messy. And then these Teflon bags came out, and if you put your turkey in there, I usually put an orange and an onion in the cavity, and you put a little flour in it and shake it up and put it in with a twisty. It bakes beautifully. It's moist. It even browns.
You get a crispy skin.
You do.
So there must be some kind of air that gets in there.
You put a couple slits in the top. And
okay,
the beauty
there
of
go.
It, too, is when you're finished, all of your juices are contained in that bag.
And you put them in a saucepan?
You just snip a corner and pour them in this saucepan and put your roasting pan back up. You don't even have to wash it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and I think I might have to explore this. Do you get the Teflon bag at the grocery store?
Yes, uh-huh. They come in packages of 4 or 6 or something, and we've had great luck, particularly keeping them moist.
Well, that is, you learn something every time. I appreciate your sharing that with me.
We'll give it a try. I know that basting a turkey, there's such a connection with the bird when you continue to work with it. But if you've got
you
a bunch
feel
of
like you've
coming,
worked for that bird.
You know, stick this in the oven and forget about it. Keep an eye on it. And we do use a meat thermometer in it.
You get to the right temperature. Well, I think it's great that there's so many alternatives, and I certainly am going to look for those bags the next time I go to the grocery store.
I'll check your blog, too.
Yeah, let me give you, it's BettyRossbottom.com is the website, and you can get to the blog from there. Betty Rossbottom.
You can hit on this for my blog.
Yeah, BettyRossbottom.com. Thanks, Ann, for your call.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Beth in Plain City, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Oh, hello, Ann and Betty. My taste buds are absolutely out the window right now. I'm so hungry listening to this show. I want to go home and cook. Ann, I love your show.
Thank you,
Thanks
Beth.
Thanks for having it. And I grew up with Ann Fisher in Tiffin, Ohio, but I know it's not you. Betty, last weekend I made a brisket recipe that I haven't made in a long time from a friend.
Yes.
And it was made with, lots of celery and onion in the bottom of the roaster, and then horseradish and chili sauce on top. It's so good. However, it just seemed like it took forever to get it done, and it did fall apart eventually, but the meat still tasted a little tough to me. So is there a secret that might help me the next time when I make that?
Well, the only thing I can suggest is dealing with a butcher you get to know. And if you bought that even in a grocery store where, you know, you have to ring a bell to get a butcher, I think if you say in a polite way, you know, I bought this brisket here, really cooked it a long time, but the meat just didn't seem to have any flavor. And I actually do that whenever I have a bad experience. And one time the butcher gave me back a whole bunch of lamb chops. I wasn't asking, but he said, oh, we changed suppliers, you know, and these were okay. The ones you got were not quite as marbled. And so sometimes there's something that's out of your control. Maybe they have changed the supplier, but they need to know. It's your feedback that's important.
Okay.
The other thing is, you know, maybe it took quite so long because the temperature was really low. I don't know what temperature, but it was under 300. You could certainly raise it a little bit and make it a little bit faster.
Okay. Actually, the flavor was quite good. I usually serve it with mashed potatoes. It's a good butter dish. And actually
it
came
great.
From a woman who winters in Snowmass, so... You know, it just tastes really good in the winter if you've been skiing or something like that. But
yeah, and it's that kind of roasting we talked about where there's liquids around it.
Yeah, I
love that kind of roast. And I, you know, but if you did feel there was a problem, and I always think courtesy is really part of it. If you have an exchange with your butcher and just say, you know, something didn't seem quite as good as the time before, if the attitude is right, they're very helpful. I have had great conversations with butchers, especially during this book.
Thank you, Beth, in Plain City. Appreciate your listening. Thanks to Hillary in Columbus and Sue in Westerville. We need 8 more pledges before the end of the hour. We have just about 4 minutes to go, and we need 8 more pledges. That's 2 an hour. And believe me, we've got the volunteers over there waiting for your calls. You will not overtax us if you give us a call right now. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Your call right now to 1-866-897-9678 makes you an instant member of WOSU. If you've been putting it off, if you've never done it before, now's the time to do it. You make one phone call and you have done your part for the entire year. You can also do your part online at our secure server at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Pick up your cookbook, Sunday Roasts, by Betty Rossbottom for $120 pledge to WOSU. Remember, you can see a picture of the book and a description at WOSU.org. From this book, you can learn how to make some great dishes such as beef tenderloin with roasted shallots, bacon, and port, and salmon fillets on a bed of peas. I want to try that one, definitely.
Oh, that's so easy and quick.
I know, it sounds great, but, you know, it's hard to get fresh peas. But pick up your cookbook.
Well, you know what? You can use frozen peas. It's one of the few frozen items that I think most professional cooks will say it's okay if you don't get the fresh ones because they're usually a high quality and you can substitute those.
Thanks to Adam in Columbus, we need 7 more calls. We have 3 more minutes to go. That's a little more than 2 a minute. And once again, I'm telling you, we have some Central Ohio volunteers, real Central Ohioans, in the call room right now waiting for your calls. We don't, you know, it's not always the case when you make pledges to different organizations that you hear from somebody in your own region. They're here. They're waiting. This is how they show their support for 89.7 NPR News. It's by showing up and taking your calls. Let's give them something to do. Make them feel needed. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. We need 7 more calls, and we have little over 2 minutes to do it. Pick up the phone now and show your support. You need to tell people that this is something that matters to you. We have cooking shows a lot. We make your mouths water a lot on this show because I love to cook too. So it's a little bit of selfishness, but I wouldn't be able to do it if I didn't know that people out there really care about it. Thanks to Daniel in Westerville. We need 6 more calls in 2 minutes. That's 3 a minute, but we can do it because we've got the guys over there waiting to take your calls right now. I chatted with them before the program and promised them I'd keep them busy. Don't make me a fibber. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Betty Rossbottom, it has been a pleasure. I knew it would be. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, and it's been my pleasure. It's always great to be in touch with the wonderful people from Ohio, and good luck to you on your fun drive.
Thank you. I've been talking to Betty Rossbottom, cookbook author, teacher, and author of her 10th cookbook, Sunday Roasts, A Year's Worth of Mouth-Watering Roasts. Thanks to Carol in Columbus, we have 5 more calls to make in just about a minute. 1-866-897-9678. 5 more calls. I know we can do it because there's 5 gentlemen back there waiting to take your calls right now. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. It counts there as well. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 MPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the state auto insurance companies providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.